Yeah. Eric Loss is with us from the city of Arcata. Eric is the super duper intendant, huh? Of yes. all things water in Arcata.
Yes, thank you very much.
And you also brought along a couple of defensive shields to deflect some of those piercing questions, huh?
Well, we have Sarah Gavin and Tracy Watkins, who recently did quite a bit of work on Water Week, and we're very excited about that and would love to talk some about water. That's what I do for the most part, is water and wastewater, so I'm really interested.
And wildlife management, doesn't that come hand in hand?
Well, when you run a natural treatment system, it's pretty hard to not count the wildlife in.
Fair enough, fair enough. Our quote this morning comes from Theodore Hesburgh, sometime between 1917 and 1999, said, quote, hey, he never found out Y2K was a goof. Ha. The very essence of leadership is that you have to have vision. You can't blow an uncertain trumpet. You guys didn't even get the Y2K thing. You didn't get that. That's frightening. Eric, what's the biggest challenge that you've got in Arcata now with water, the movement of water, the treatment of water, just water?
So in general, in the city of Arcata, I think a lot of people enjoy, you know, recreating in the marsh area. And to be completely honest, it's a little difficult to run a wastewater treatment system like that because it's so different than everything else in the state. And so it's just kind of easier if you get something that's pre-engineered in a package and you run that, people can understand that really well and how it works, whereas we're kind of running a garden of sorts, and the plants grow well one year and not well another year, and so the system can be kind of challenging in unexpected ways.
You mean it's easier to go to the deli case to get dinner than it is the fruit and the vegetable and the meat departments? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Here?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's Friday, it's food. That analogy works for me all the time. So what does it take to do that? I mean, we've heard folks come into the area from this place or that place, they get the tour, they're impressed, okay, that's kind of cool. But the day-to-day grunt of what's going on, is it more labor-intensive or less labor-intensive or to get it done this way?
So I think one of the things that people may not realize is that it's really a lot of what could be called seat-of-the-pants operations, where you have to kind of use all your senses to look at how the plant is running and then make decisions based off of that, rather than go to the owner's manual and this light is blinking, so we need to press this switch.
So intuition is more of a driver.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess unless it's something is ticking, you're probably okay anyway, because you can do a workaround and figure it out.
Yeah, well, one of the nice things is the plant, you know, it kind of takes about 30 days for everything to happen, so it's kind of running on Humboldt time. You got a little bit of time anyway to deal with problems.
Oh man, you just stepped in the big mud puddle there and you don't even know it.
Okay.
So we're going to take a break and we'll let you kind of step back away from that one. We'll clean you up and hear from the folks who really do the work, okay?
Okay.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We'll be back with Eric and others.
The best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon. Oh, man. Rich, I went clean yesterday, and today I screwed it up. This is the second week of coming back to the morning after 20 years in the afternoon, so I made a faux pas. That was my puddle step in, Eric. The concept of urgency is something that is kind of interesting. When you're talking to your staff about projects and things of that nature, how do you put in some of the requirements, some of the standards, some of the time bound activities. If it takes 30 days for something to really work through the whole process, or is 30 days the deadline?
Yeah, so it's a day-to-day operation that the culmination of which you see the results after 30 days. And so what happens is you make decisions on a given day using your best skills and abilities in front of you, and then you see the results of those over the next 30 days. And each day that goes by, you continue to make adjustments on that given day. So it's a continuously moving target that takes a fair amount of experience to get the hang of. And of course, you know, like all industrial operations, even though we talk up the natural side of it, it is a wastewater treatment plant with pumps and motors and everything else that requires day-to-day attention. And if a given pump breaks on one day, you have to get in there and fix that right at that exact moment. So there is plenty that is an immediate pressing concern every day in the operations.
Tracy and Sarah, what do you guys sense when you go, you walk on the job in the morning? Are you looking for things to do? Are you looking for things to fix? Are you looking just to kind of get a lay of the land? What is it that you look at, not from a management perspective, but more from the hands-on perspective?
Well, I mean, we are both just support staff in our current positions, so we don't really have as much to do with the day-to-day plant operations, but we are trying to kind of be there to support everyone and make their jobs a little easier with the stuff that they need assistance with.
So you're not looking for things, you're kind of reacting to what's given?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, we've each got our own projects that we work on, but a lot of it's kind of based on what the operators need, and if people need some supplies ordered, or if there's some other stuff going on that they need help with. I feel like our position is kind of set up to be really reactive to that. So we're giving assistance where assistance is needed, and then we are working on our projects, you know, as well.
You are going to have to talk. You know that. Sarah, when you talk to your buddies and say, this is what I do for a job, what do you tell them?
My main thing down at the treatment plant is I feel that it's taking care of the backflow database, and that is a backflow prevention device to make sure that bad water doesn't get into the good city water. And so we have many valves around the city that need to be tested annually, and I keep track of all that.
So it's like a tide gate, so
sure.
to speak? I mean, it opens one way and then closes unless there's something wrong?
In the drinking water system. So it's one for the water that comes out of people's taps in their houses, and the water that we supply from the city, we want that water to go one way path into people's houses and probably not back to us. So yeah, we have valves around town that Sarah really keeps track of those. We have hundreds of them.
So how do you monitor? Is that on site? I mean, do you go out and
there's backflow testers that do go out and they have their route, and they take their test and report it on paper, and then I bring those papers and put it into the database. Make sure that it's in line with the finance department and everyone's being billed correctly.
Oh, she's the money girl? Is that what it is, Eric?
Money girl.
The test costs money.
If there's an opportunity to bribe, she's the first one in the line.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, that wouldn't go very far,
no.
I don't think.
No bribes.
Tracy, when you're doing what you're doing, how do you describe that to your buddies? Here's what I do for my job.
Well, I mean, I feel like there's so many things. It's kind of hard to describe. I do the same sort of thing. So I'm helping to put together a big database for some software that we're just acquiring so that we can kind of, you know, get our maintenance stuff kind of up to par, and we're kind of putting together a big maintenance database. So I work a lot on that. So kind of like the back end of filling in all of the data so that we can get it all in there and start tracking things better and
Eric,
getting more proficient with that.
It sounds intriguing because I think most people think water, okay, you got moving parts, you got chemistry lab somewhere, you've got a couple of birds, okay, and some swamp critters. But the support necessary to do and to make sure that everything is okay, and I would imagine water quality and all those guys are kind of peeking around the corner for that stuff too. How much staff time, percentage-wise, is allocated to reports, report writing, report maintaining, report database entering, blah, 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 all that stuff that makes it so that the other guys can do their job.
Yeah, so a significant amount. We have an entire office dedicated to the environmental compliance office that generates the actual paper reports, but like Tracy and Sarah have kind of been commenting on, everything that we do down there is regulated to some degree or another, and all of that background information has to be compiled, amassed, and then also we have to actually do that work. And so we need people to keep track of pretty much everything we do in one way or another, and that's where Tracy and Sarah come in.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30. We'll be back in just a moment.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're talking shop this morning with Eric Lust. Eric is the... Are you water and wastewater?
That's correct.
One isn't redundant of the other. Okay, good. I got a smile. That's all I was looking for.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking of wastewater and people's faucets.
Wastewater is what's running on the street and then going down through the gutter. That's not the typical definition. It has more to do with the plumbing inside the house.
Yeah, and in our city, we keep the stormwater, which is the stuff in the gutter, separate from the stuff that goes down the drains in your house. So some cities have, you know, a stormwater system and a wastewater system and a potable water system. So I'm not much involved in the
stormwater. They would be systems-oriented people, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Tracy Watkins and Sarah Gavin are also alongside. The concept of the drought, and I mean, it's recognized in most of the state as real. Here, I think we probably still are kind of wondering why is it called a drought here when we look at the rivers, we look at the lakes. Okay, fine, we have water. Other places don't. Eric, with this designation, and whether it's the Fish and Wildlife or water or whoever might happen to be at the state, what has that designation done to your department's daily activities, weekly activities, the reporting stuff that you have to do? What does that on the water? What does that mean?
Yeah, so those regulations have already affected us insofar as that we're spending a considerable amount of time reacting to that state law. And that time that we're spending on that is time, you know, we would normally be working on other projects. So the drought regulations directly affect us. We're required to comply with them in the same way that the rest of the state. But for us, as you observed, we have, you know, years of storage in our reservoir. And so it definitely is a lot of work for not much benefit for us in this region.
So the governor just whipped this edict down? He didn't give any funding to go along with it?
Nope. He didn't offer that to us. We're still waiting, though. He can always make good on that.
Tracy and Sarah, what has it done for you? Is this more additional data that you have to track? Does it affect somebody else in the office that you don't have to worry about?
It hasn't really been additional data to track, but for us, it really kind of spurred us doing our Water Week outreach event, which we just finished up last week, and a lot of that was kind of because of the drought, right? So we talked a lot about the drought, we talked about water conservation, just trying to get education out there to the community and the public. So for us, it's kind of, I feel like that's how it's affected our jobs more. I mean, we spent a couple months kind of off and on working on this event, and you know, hopefully it benefited the community and we got some, you know, word out. I mean, I know that we do have water here, but it's still good, you know, to implement water conservation practices in your home. I mean, every job counts, right? Even if we do in Humboldt County have a little bit more abundance of water than other areas of the state. I mean, at least to me, I feel like, you know,
it's good practice.
It's good practice, and people should be mindful of the amount of water they use. So, yeah.
So, are you relying on altruism?
Yeah.
Or, well, most Fortuna certainly had it with their infrastructure reinvestment that they had to do 4 or 5 years ago. Eureka's had a significant bump because the pulp mill not taking as much in the water district having to cover. People tend to be motivated by money, either right. chasing or saving.
Right.
So as part and parcel to what you guys' plans are there cost pass-throughs that you have to do? So once the conservation techniques are used and the metal adjustments are made, that folks might see it in their bill also?
Yeah, so I can kind of speak to that a little bit. For one thing, the efforts that are being raised to try to get an across-the-board percent reduction for this region that's lower will benefit presumably all of the users whose water supply comes from Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District, because there are significant reductions that are scheduled in the current form that'll be mandated by the state for communities like Humboldt Community Service District, City of Eureka. And if those reductions go in place, then Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District will quite literally be selling less potable water in proportion to those reductions. So that'll be a direct reduction in revenues that the infrastructure costs, in other words, to produce the water, it's a fairly linear cost. You can produce 25% less, but it doesn't cost you necessarily 25% less if you're producing 25% less. It costs you, say, I'll just throw a number out there, 5% less.
Well, you need a pump. Doesn't matter how many,
exactly.
how many molecules are going through the pump, you still need the pump.
Your employees still show up. You still have to fix those pipes and tanks and all the process units throughout your system. And those costs are flat. And so these reductions can definitely cascade affect people's bills.
One of the things that I think the state is starting to come to grips with, at least I know the county folks are, is gas tax. You know, as we get more efficient, as we have cars that don't use gas, there's no revenues being generated at the pumps, and yet the impact to the roadways continues on, and that model that was put in place, now as there's encouragements not to follow the model, it kind of starts falling apart pretty quick. Is there a parallel analogy for water, at least in our area?
There is. I mean, it's certainly within some bounds. For instance, reducing usage to some degree or another is... We reduce the amount of electricity. There are some savings that come into play. The infrastructure that's in place, it is in effect making that infrastructure slightly larger. For example, if you've got a 500,000 gallon storage tank and people use a little bit less, then that 500,000 gallon storage tank goes a little bit further. So there are some benefits to conserving. But that being said, yes, the model currently is sell water to pay for the services that you're receiving, and those costs are directly proportional to the amount of water that are sold in effect. And so by reducing the amount of water sold, you reduce your revenues, which then could result in being underfunded for your day-to-day
O&M. But that's Karen's issue, right?
one thing about Water Week was that we're all kind of affirming that we're all owners of the public water infrastructure. We're your caretakers taking care of those systems, but it's a community system. And yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:43. We shall return.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this after... this after the break.
Nice.
Yeah, it was so smooth, too. Tracy Watkins, Sarah Gavin, and Eric Lust from Arcata and the Water Folks. The Water Week, you guys referenced that earlier. What were some of the suggestions made on either how to save water, or at least think about it when you're using the water?
Well, there's lots of simple things people can do in their homes to save water. So a lot of them are really easy.
Yeah, why don't you let Sarah at least say a little something?
Okay, go for it, Sarah.
It's pretty simple to turn off the water while you're brushing your teeth. You know, take shorter showers. Only flush the toilet when you really need to.
Okay, now Tracy, hit us with a regular stuff.
Okay, so when you are filling up the water for the shower, before it gets hot, put a bucket in there. So you're catching all that cold water, and then take that cold water and use it to water your plants, or you can put it in your toilet tank to flush your toilet. You can do a lot of stuff with rainwater harvesting, where you can set up, like, you know, a catchment system to get rain in a barrel and use that for kind of that kind of stuff too, you know, watering your garden or doing stuff like that. There's a lot of things out there people can do, so.
I thought that Dave Hall had shared years ago, and I always liked him. Yeah, I was a little guy. The little guns at the end of the hose.
Yeah. So the automatic shut off.
Yeah.
It's not running, but right. You know, you can you know, nail the dog, you know, walking by the house, you know, the car, that kind of stuff. I mean, which is, it kind of almost makes sense. I mean, it's simple, it's easy, it's not that weird, you know, that kind of stuff. What if you're in an apartment setting or you're not in one of the rural areas?
Right. Well, I mean, doing a lot of the low flow appliances is always really nice too. So low flow shower heads and, you know, high energy washers and dryers and stuff like that.
What about the hot water that's on demand? Does that change anything?
The on-demand water heaters can show a reduction in the natural gas usage, but they don't really conserve water too much. And arguably,
we don't have one. I didn't know if you turn it on, bam, it's hot.
It does. Hot, it can come hot faster if it's located closer to where you're using it.
So if you're showering with your hot water heater.
Right.
Bang.
If you stand right underneath it, yes.
More information on the city website.
Definitely.
Yes,
follow the water, so to speak. Yeah, downhill. Okay. Thanks for coming by, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Join us Monday morning for more talk. See, I got morning that time. Monday morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.